In the Madison Police Department podcast, we promote safety by providing information on current crime trends in the capital city. In addition, we give listeners a behind-the-badge look at community-based, problem-solving policing done the Madison way. You will hear from passionate MPD subject matter experts, people we like to call guardians. These men and women are dedicated to keeping Madison a great place to live, learn, and play.
Greetings and welcome to the Madison Police Department podcast. I'm Joel Despain, the department's PIO, and this is a special edition of the podcast. That's because one of our guests is someone who has struggled with opioid addiction in the past and has been greatly helped by the MPD's innovative Madison Addiction Recovery Initiative, or MARI. MARI gives those who have overdosed the opportunity to go into treatment rather than go to jail. Sean Savium is our special guest. And also joining the program is Officer Bernie Albright. Officer Albright oversees the MARI program. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi, Joel.
It's good to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah, and particularly, Sean, just to have the courage to come and talk about where you've been in life and to what brings you here to the podcast. So give the listeners a little sense as to where you were at, what you were using, and you know, what that was doing to your life.
Well, I had started with being prescribed pain medication for fibromyalgia and, you know, taking it as needed, and then it kind of, it for me, it almost made it worse, because then when I didn't have the pain medication, I was in more pain. And so then you start using more and more and more, and then, you know, I just, my body came physically addicted to it. And I struggled with that for quite a few years. And then, of course, you know, they prescribe more and they prescribe more, and there was that whole epidemic of doctors over-prescribing. And then, you know, then it started where they weren't prescribing them anymore. And so then at that point, I had turned to heroin for a very, very brief period of time, but long enough to get me in some trouble.
Well, what you are saying is what we hear so many times over, that people are prescribed these opioids, they get addicted, and then you don't have that prescription anymore.
Right, yeah. And so then you turn to the streets.
And I take it this was not your lifestyle.
Absolutely not. I mean, I have, you know, I had two small twins at the time and, you know, a family and a great family, great group of friends. You know, you don't ever grow up thinking this is what's going to happen to you, that you're going to become addicted and that you're going to turn to something like heroin. It was never my thought ever that I would do that.
Yeah, and then that's what I decided a long time ago as the public information officer for the department, was that the people who are using heroin or other opioids, these aren't criminals.
No.
This is a health crisis.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of what gave birth to MARI. Officer Albright, if you can give us a little sense of that, and then I'd like to get back to Sean in a minute and talk about what MARI did for her. But tell people about the MARI program.
Well, the MARI program is a three-year grant, and we're currently in the final year of our grant. It's a federal grant. It was $700,000, and it actually does not fund anyone from our department. We're, my services are provided in kind by the City of Madison and the Madison Police Department, and the premises of it is when we have someone like Sean that may be facing a charge related to an addiction problem, and it's a nonviolent crime and a victimless crime, we will offer her the chance to get fast-tracked into treatment through our program, as opposed to facing the criminal charge, which is typically going to be some kind of drug possession charge or maybe a retail theft. And we'll just hold that charge, and if the person in Sean's situation ends up following through with whatever help or treatment is recommended by our assessment provider, if they follow through for that with 6 months, then we never file that charge.
And what was that like for you, Sean? Did you know at that time where you'd kind of hit that bottom, if you will, that this was even an opportunity that was there, this MARI program? And then when you found out about it, what did it do for your life?
Well, the first time I had overdosed, I went to jail for 4 days. And it was the worst 4 days of my life. I don't ever want to go back there. And then, you know, it happened a second time, and I spent the night in the hospital, And somehow I managed to not go to jail that time. And the third time I overdosed, I mean, I was in a panic. I figured now I'm, you know, I'm kind of bail jumping and I'm in some serious trouble. And there were two women police officers there in the emergency room, and they said, we're not going to take you to jail. There's a new program that just started, the MARI program, where you can get treatment. And if you, you know, do everything you need to do, they drop the charges. And I was just in complete disbelief. And so she gave me the number of, you know, somebody to call at the, I think it was the Journey Institution at the time. And I don't even think those ladies were out of the parking lot. And I had the phone dialing the number. And when I called, actually, Kim is who I dealt with at that point. She didn't even know I was going to be calling her.
Yeah.
And in fact, she said, can you call me back in about 15 minutes? She said, you know, I don't even have any paperwork on you yet. And so I called back and, you know, I met with her and, you know, signed up for intensive outpatient treatment for 6 weeks. That was, you know, four nights a week for 4 hours. I did that for 6 weeks, and then I did weekly meetings at, it was on, it's off Gammon Road, the treatment center there. And then I did, you know, kind of like AA type meetings for the next 6 months. And, you know, the best part about the MARI program is the coach that they assign you.
Yeah.
Kind of a go-to person when you're having a bad day, when you're having a moment. And it's not even just addiction related, it's life related. That coach is there to get you through, you know, a fight with a friend, or if you're, you know, if something happened at work and you're having a bad day, you can call them day or night, 24/7, and they are trained to help you get through that time that you don't want to turn back and use again.
Because my understanding is that's probably the toughest monkey to get off your back.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to have a lot of courage and support.
Yeah. And she, you know, and my coach, her name was Colleen, she was my angel, you know. And knowing that she'd been where I'd been, she herself is in recovery, knew what I was going through, knew those moments of the day when you're struggling. She, you know, knew what to say. She knew how to get me through it. And I don't think I would have maybe gotten through some days without her. You know, she's kind of that general person. She's non-biased. She's not family. She's not a friend. She's a third party, you know.
Bernie? There's a couple of new positions developing within society now based on this crisis we're going through, and that's recovery coach and peer support specialist.
Right.
And
these are positions, Bernie, where are these proposed? Are they going to be with the program?
You're starting to see them. We will have a peer support specialist as part of our upcoming grant. I mentioned how MARI's in its final year. We're going to talk about the next grant we just received.
Well, why don't we do that, Bernie? So the MARI program was a three-year federally funded program, and now it's transitioning. I guess the good news for people like Sean, that it's not going away. It may be even getting better.
Right, right. Yeah, we are definitely going to expand on what we have to offer. We'll be doing more outreach. And so what happened was we got a little bit of an extension for the current MARI grant because we had money left in the grant. So we're going through September of this year. And with that coming to an end, our MPD grant manager, Jim Powell, he applied for another grant similar to this, and we were awarded that. It's from COPE, the Comprehensive Opioid Abuse Program, which is another federal grant, and it's going to be $1.2 million, another 3 years. We're in the planning phases of it now, getting personnel in place and developing things on paper, but essentially we're going live in June. But that will fully fund a position within our department. We're going to have a full-time addiction resource officer who is a police officer that just goes to that position. Right now, about 50% of my time is dedicated towards MARI-related things. We'll have somebody fully dedicated to that now. And that person's going to work side-by-side with a certified peer support specialist who that'll be provided by an outside agency like Connections Counseling like we have now, or whatever agency is able to provide that service and essentially gets the bid. That person will work side by side with our addiction resource officer supplied by MPD, and they'll also be teamed with a community paramedic from the Madison Fire Department, which is going to be a three-quarter position. So MFD is in the process right now of hiring that person. And those three are going to go out. And right now it's kind of reactive. You know, we have somebody that has an overdose, and our officers deal with that situation, meet with the person in the ER, explain MARI, and then we kind of have to hope that someone takes it and runs with it like Sean did to take advantage of it. Well, if Sean never calls, if Sean doesn't understand what to do, and we can't track her down to help her get into the program or explain things to her, that's just kind of it. That threesome, that group is going to be out there now finding these people and doing more proactive work. Or let's say Sean is not eligible for MARI, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe she didn't commit a crime, but her friends are coming to us, or some of the officers on the streets are saying, well, I know this person has a problem. We'll go out and find that person.
Right.
And we'll give them Narcan, and we'll offer them resources. You know, and that peer support specialist, that's usually a person with lived experience. And when they make that connection, those two, we're really all on the same page.
So more of a proactive than reactive program.
Yeah, definitely.
And what do you think that'll mean, Sean, in terms of people that are out there?
I think that's wonderful. You know, I hope that it doesn't take somebody, you know, it to happen to somebody like it did to me, where I almost died and, you know, had to get this help in the emergency room, that they can, you know, have a phone call made to them at home in their comfortable space to be offered this program. I mean, I think, and the resources, I think sometimes you just don't know where to turn. You're scared to tell your family and friends.
Right.
I know I certainly was. It's, you know, it's embarrassing. You feel shameful about it. And that's just it. And that, I think, is where it's important for me to tell people it's not embarrassing. It's not nothing to be ashamed of. It happens. Nobody's perfect, you know. This wasn't something I went out and sought. I didn't plan for this to happen to me. It just did. And, you know, to come out on the other side of it and say, you know what, I fixed it. I'm better. I'm good. I'm healthy. And I appreciate every day is the most rewarding thing.
So you were saying, Sean, it was close at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I was, I overdosed three times. And the first time I did, I woke up to them doing chest compressions on me.
Wow.
I mean, I was Narcan'd several times.
Wow.
Did you feel like you were addicted at that point? You had an addiction?
Most definitely.
What does that feel like? Because I think a lot of people, you know, there's a stigma about this, that a lot of drug users are, they're just recreational drug users.
Yeah.
And they're doing this by choice.
No.
I don't know that you had a choice.
No, I mean.
What does that feel like?
The withdrawal is awful. You know, and that's the other part. If you have to go to jail, you know, yeah, you can go through the physical withdrawals there without having access to anything, usually. But it doesn't fix your brain. It doesn't fix how to deal with those triggers. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I OD'd, when I came home from jail that night, I wanted to use again.
Wow.
I didn't have the tools to know how to not want to, you know, and I was scared to call somebody. I was embarrassed and ashamed.
I got to believe that you've got a supportive group of friends and family.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I really, really do. I would not have been able to do it without them either.
And some people don't have that.
And they don't. And that's the unfortunate part. But that's where it's nice to have that coach, that person that you can call that's trained to help you. And again, they're a non-biased person. They don't know you, they don't judge you, and they've been through it too. So they know what you're going through, where sometimes my family didn't. You know, they didn't understand.
Yeah.
And the physical addiction is the hardest part to get over.
Right.
You know, once you can get over that hump, it's smooth sailing, but it's really tough to get over those days of, you know, being ill, you know, just physically ill, and your arms and your legs are kicking, and you're nauseated, and upset stomach and diarrhea and you name it, and Pepto doesn't work for any of it. You know, you have to, I know my family, their two rules were I couldn't have any money on me. I couldn't have more than $5 at a time for about a month. And I was never left alone, whether it be, you know, my significant other, my mom, my brother, one of my kids.
Good for
you
them.
Know, they all had that meeting and said, this is what we need to do for at least the first 30 days. And then we'll come back and reevaluate and see how she's doing. And, you know, after the 30 days, I was over that hump.
Right.
You know, and I had a wonderful doctor, too, that, help me get through those days. You know, he said, what do you need? What are your symptoms? What can I give you that will help with that to make it less? I mean, you still have them, but boy, he was wonderful. And that's, you know, the other thing too with these doctors, if somebody comes in and they're going through that withdrawal, they know what they need. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody is supposed to just take one or two pills to help with the legs kicks, you know, I needed four or five. I was just that addicted for so long, and my I'm looking for. You know, I just had built up a tolerance,
right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we hear too.
And a lot of the people that I read about, because I unfortunately have to read a lot of reports about things that happen in the community, is that you see people who've gone through some recovery, mm-hmm. and then they relapse and they go back to using the same amount they were using prior to going through recovery,
right.
and now they've overdosed.
Yeah.
And I think that happens. I don't know if that happened to you, if it was this.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, like I said, I finally had to just break down to my primary doctor and say, look, my family doctor, and say, this is what's going on, and this mm-hmm. is what I feel like I need. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not perfect either.
Yep.
You tell me what you need, and I'll do what I can to make that happen within reason. Mm-hmm. And he did. And that, you know, was very helpful, too. So I think, you know, for the physicians out there, you know, if somebody comes to you and they really want the help, do what you can to give them what they need within reason,
right.
obviously. You know, but there are medications out there that can help get you through the withdrawals and the symptoms and the leg kicking and the arm kicking and the nausea,
you through that first 30 days.
Yeah.
What are we seeing out there, Bernie, in terms of numbers right now? I mean, here Mari's 3 years in.
Right.
I think that everyone in the community who's really paying attention to this realizes this is a public health crisis. This is not something that we're going to police our way out of. It's mm-hmm. not a police issue. What are we seeing in terms of numbers on the streets? Are we making a dent? Are fewer people addicted now than maybe 3 years ago? Or is it hard to assess that?
The numbers for 2019 were positive, I think. Any is too many, but... when you go back to 2016, we tracked, it was 143 overdoses in the city. That went to 259 in 2017. 2018 was 275. So we started to plateau at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then now in 2019, we had a reduction for the first time that we've been tracking. So overdoses were down 10%. Those are the ones we know about,
right.
at least. I think maybe even a more accurate tracker is fatalities, because we always find out about those.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody can overdose. If their friend or loved one has Narcan, maybe they get things taken care of without ever calling 911.
Right.
Fatalities, we know about all of those. And we had more than a 30% drop in fatalities in 2019. So we've at least leveled it off. We're at least not having that steep increase every year. I think Mari has something to do with that. But then the community's understanding of this problem.
Well, I think you're right, Bernie. And I think to have someone like Sean and others who have the courage to come forward and say, look, I'm your neighbor, I'm your sister,
mm-hmm.
I'm your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
This could happen to anyone.
Yeah, because people in this addiction are not criminals, they're not recreational drug users, they're good citizens like Sean that just kind of got caught in a situation
yep.
through medication or whatever, and now things were out of control for them a
right.
little bit.
Well, I'm old, and I remember when I was coming up that heroin was thought to be a drug of the inner city, you know,
right.
and I didn't see it. You know, and I grew up in Madison. If it was here, I wasn't aware of it.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so I think there was a stigma from a long time ago, particularly mm-hmm. with an older generation. I think with younger people, they know what's out there and how prevalent it is.
Right.
And I think, you know, anybody who's following the news has seen how many opioids were dumped into communities
mm-hmm.
and people were overprescribed, it sounds like, from
yeah.
what Sean is telling us. And now we've been in a crisis, you know, and I think I've been saying it for several years that this is a public health crisis.
Right.
And some have been a little slower getting to the table, but I think yeah. it's really good that we're having this conversation here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from a town of, you know, population 500.
Wow.
You know, drugs were not, you know, I mean, the biggest thing was marijuana when I was in school, you know. And yeah, heroin was a big a big deal. And, you know, when I thought of that, I thought of, you know, the bigger cities, LA mm-hmm. and New York and not even Madison at that point.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought it happened in other bigger states, you know, and so, you know, for it to happen to me, it's there.
And again, this is going back a few years now, Sean, but is it easy to procure heroin on the streets? And, you know, I know that our...
It was then.
Probably
yeah.
still
I mean,
is.
It wasn't.
I'm sure it
and,
still
and
is.
And I got
yeah.
it from the people, too, that would you'd least expect.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
You know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, any, you know, so I we probably need to start wrapping up here at some point. But, Sean, for others out there who are struggling, your message to them?
Just reach out and get help. It's, you know, that's the hardest part. You know, as they always say with addiction is admitting there's a problem and asking for help. But it's out there. It's available. And, you know, this is just a great program. And these people that work the program are wonderful. They're experienced. They've been where you are. They know how you feel. And it's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about to admit that there's a problem.
And your life 3-4 years ago compared to now?
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. You know, I look forward to every day. I wake up every day. I'm energized. I feel great. You know, I'm not searching for drugs is a full-time job. Being a drug addict is a full-time job because you're constantly worrying about, you know, where am I going to get my next fix? Where am I going to get the money from? Who am I going to have to lie to get a few bucks, you know, to gather up? And, you know, worrying about the next day and the next day. And you don't focus on your work and your kids and your family. And now I do that.
Oh, that's
you know,
awesome.
My kids always come first, and they always have. But, you know, it just, I wish I could tell people how good I feel today. And my fibromyalgia is nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
I think the pain pills made it worse, you know? Because when they
wear off. I don't
mean
to laugh, but.
Yeah, you know. But when they wear off, then that pain's just accentuated. You know,
yeah.
It just makes it worse than what it really needs to be. So, yeah, it's. You know, I just can't say enough about it and how great I feel.
You know, that's awesome. I really want to thank you for having the courage to come here and talk about this. And I guess, Bernie, the hope is that there's somebody else going to be listening out there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to say, okay, you know what? Mm-hmm. I can tackle this.
I mean, Sean's really a great example and an inspiration and really the epitome of what Mari is all about. She went through her struggles, the first overdose, the second overdose.
Yeah.
And that's why we keep on trying.
Yeah.
And, well, you didn't have a chance at Mari those first two times. It didn't exist then.
Right.
But, you know, somebody that got in the right situation, that's got the right mindset, she's got a good support network,
yeah.
She wants to get better, and now she's a wildly successful person and a great member of our society and a role model for a lot of people. And, you know, we really admire you, Sean.
Thank you.
And it's great you could be on here.
Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to more Sean's.
That's
like
right.
Sounds
you,
great.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I thank everyone for listening. I'm Joel Despain, and you've been listening to the Madison Police Department podcast.